today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So, you know, all the nurses, like in time to the music, are going, you know, left, left, right, right, left, left, right, right. And Ace and the other guys, like, are sticking out their heads between butts.
Hey there, everybody. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan, and I am pleased to have joining us today a friend of mine, George Manis. Hello, George.
Hello, Jim.
And George and I have been talking about this for a couple of months. It's the first time we've been able to get together in person, so that's why this particular topic is delayed a bit. But back in October, the world experienced the death of Ace Frehley of KISS.
I would like to say that I have seen an interview of Ace on YouTube, and he pronounced it Frehley, as in Frehley's Comet.
I've always wondered about that.
I found an interview where he said something like, "Hi, I'm Ace Frehley," and then the interview said, "Okay, so let's talk about Frehley's Comet." So, I don't know.
It makes sense that if you're using the Comet reference, that it would be Frehley.
Right.
All right. Right. All right. So. All right. Well, anyway, rest in power, Ace. Space Ace. Anyway, that happened back in October, and George shared with me back then a story about a certain brush with greatness with Ace. And I said, well, hold that thought. Next time we get together in person, because George lives up in New York, next time we get together in person, we'll explore this story. So, now the microphone is on, George. Tell us about your brush with greatness with Ace Frehley.
So in the year 1988, I was working in the video production business, and I was what they call a production assistant, mm-hmm. which basically means you do whatever the heck anybody tells you to do. You just hang around and run errands.
Okay.
And I got a job from a friend, and I, for the very first and last time in my life, I was a production assistant on the production of a rock video intended to be shown on MTV. And the rock video was for a song by Ace Frehley called Insane.
Insane. So back up here. So what type of work did you normally do if this was the only music video?
I worked actually mostly as a production assistant on a video crew that did sales tapes for E.F. Hutton.
Okay.
Back in the day, You would go to your broker's office at EF Hutton, and he would try to sell you some weird financial product. And we would make these tapes that they could stick in their VCR and you could watch in the waiting room. We also made another set of tapes for the brokers to watch, telling them how much money they could make if they sold you whatever product this was. So this was kind of exciting to be working on rock video. This,
yeah, this sounds like very different work.
It is. The great thing about working for EF Hutton, we had a lot of money, big budget. We had incredible equipment, you know, just bins and bins of lighting equipment, the latest cameras, the latest video technology. And all we did was do interviews of guys sitting in their office wearing suits and talking.
Right. Okay. So what was the set of the music video like?
One word, chaos.
Oh, I thought you were going to say insane.
Oh, that would have been too on the nose.
Okay.
It seemed to me, as a mere 20-something who had been in the business for only a year or two or three, it seemed to me a little disorganized.
Okay.
To set the scene, what is kind of interesting about this in hindsight for me, I didn't know anything about him at the time, but the director of the music video was a guy named Mick Rock. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. And it, what hilarious thing about it is that's his real name. Mick Rock is a longtime rock photographer, sort of, I don't know, maybe second or third string Annie Leibovitz. He took the album, he shot a lot of photos, let's say, of David Bowie. He took the shot the album cover for Queen 2.
Okay.
You know, the four of them, you know, in that beautiful light. He also shot the album cover for Lou Reed Transformer.
Oh, wow. Classic. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, in fact, I saw in some credits, he did direct a bunch of rock videos. But the one I was on, it was kind of a mess in my mind. to set the scene, my one of my favorite parts of the whole thing was, well, first off, he spent a lot of time on the set of the rock video just showing off. He had a friend named Sal.
This is Ace, or this is the director?
This is the director.
Oh, the director. Okay.
And maybe I'm dwelling too much on the director.
No, that's okay. Let's hear this. Yeah.
So he would, he was followed around by a guy named Sal, and he kept saying, like, Sal, get the picture, get the picture. And the picture was always like him doing something on the set. Like at some point, you know, late in the day, he lay down on the ground, face up, arms stretched out in a Christ-like pose. And he's like, Sal, get the picture. And then he would be, he also spray painted a design on part of the set. And he's like, Sal, get the picture.
So he just wanted photos of himself on the set.
He wanted a lot of photos of himself
Got
on the
it.
Set.
Okay.
But let's get to the actual shooting.
Well, hang on. So yeah. Okay. So this was shot in New York?
This was shot in New York.
Like a soundstage kind of thing?
Yeah. I forget the name of the studio, but like, you know, just your average video, large, big room somewhere.
Yeah.
So the talent in the video is Ace and his bandmates and about a dozen models. The models are dressed in sort of, you know, porn star stripper club nurses uniforms, which, you know, they're wearing white shirts, like unbuttoned below their, you know, you can see their bra, their white bras, push-up bras, you know, a lot of buttons undone on their shirts, short skirts, white stockings, you know, white garters, you know, porn star nurses.
I think it's pretty much what someone would expect a music video from a member of KISS at that time.
Yeah.
And let me just say, now at this point, you're about how old?
I'm about 25 years old.
Okay.
In maturity, I'm a few years younger than
okay.
that. Okay.
Not yet married?
Not yet married.
So this was a fun assignment, I'm guessing, for you.
You try to be professional.
Right.
But you have a bunch of guys behind the camera, you know, saying to each other the types of things that you might expect a bunch of guys behind the camera to say about these women. So the very one of like the first shots to set up is Mick has this vision of a row of the nurses. You're looking straight ahead, and the four band members are at a long table facing the camera. On the other side of the table, facing away from the camera, are the lineup of nurses. Mm-hmm. And Mick has this vision that he wants the nurses to like wiggle their butts in unison. So, you know, all the nurses like in time to the music are going, you know, left, left, right, right, left, left, right, right. And Ace and the other guys like are sticking out their heads between butts.
Mm-hmm. Between behinds.
Yeah. Very good. So the problem is that every time it's like they roll the music, the women start, you know, left, left, right, right. Except they all start off like some are going right, right, left, left, and some are going left, left, right, right. And this happens for a few takes and nobody's really clear what to do. And then one of them who was like, I learned this when I was Miss Maryland in the Miss USA pageant and from the choreographer. What to do is you want to start us off, you say 5, 6, 7, 8, and then everybody will go, you know, the mm-hmm. same way if everybody starts. Okay. So great, great idea, Mick says. So rewind the tape, roll the music, you know, you hear the beat, whatever, and Mick yells out, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
You know, chaos ensues, and eventually they get that right.
Okay.
So that's like one setup. The other big setup that I remember was a banquet scene. And the idea is that the band members and the nurses are all around a table feeding each other grapes and bananas.
Okay.
Now, you know, you sort of think about this. If you're in a rock video, if you're the sexy nurse, or if you're the band member, you can only imagine the ways in which they're feeding each other
right.
grapes and bananas.
Right.
But there's like huge pile of grapes and bananas. Like the prop guy has been like raiding every bodega in the neighborhood for several days to get enough grapes and bananas. So you have these two tables stacked with grapes and bananas. And beforehand, you have the camera crew, very professional camera crew, sort of discussing the whole thing, and they kind of talk through different things with Mick. So it's like things like, you know, can they throw they'll probably be throwing grapes and bananas at each other. It's like, that's okay, but just don't throw them at the camera. It's late at night. If, you know, they hit the camera or the camera gets hurt somehow, we got no way to fix it. You know, the shoot, you know, stops at dead ends.
Right.
Dead stop. So, okay. And any other things like, well, also these tables are, you know, your standard, I don't know, like, you know, auditorium or all purpose room tables, mm-hmm. you know, it's like they probably should, you know, can they jump on the table? no, they probably shouldn't jump on the table because, you know, they're, you know, who knows if they'll collapse or anything like that.
Right.
So they do a few shots of this party, and then Mick says, okay, get wild. And they then just sort of chaos, like they're tearing off clothes, you know, they're jockeying for camera position, they are throwing grapes and bananas at the camera. And at the end of, like, I think the last take, of course, Ace jumps on one of the tables.
Of course.
And it, you know, they get all that done and, you know, certain things. Like, and then finally he jumps off the table onto the grapes and bananas, falls on his butt.
Right.
Universally funny seeing somebody slip on bananas, right, and fall on their butt. And that this was basically what it was like for 2 days, this thing. And it's kind of funny because I did dig up, like, the proposal, the concept proposal for the music video. Oh my gosh,
you still have this?
I saved too many things.
Like the treatment?
The treatment for it.
Oh my gosh. And so I'm holding this right here. This is a, what, about a six, no, about 12-page document, it looks like?
About 6 pages. Yeah. Those are thick pieces of paper.
Revised version, May 11th, 1988, Fraley's Comet, Insane, concept for a music video by Mick Rock. And then, oh yeah, and then it's, yeah, sort of details the shots. Yeah, right. Got it.
Now, if you look at that thing, you know, it's very thoughtful, this, that, and the other, you know, there'll be a shot of this, there'll be a shot of that. If you actually look at the video, which you can find on YouTube, it's just like a mess. You know, it's just like rock stars singing.
Yeah.
It's not, this is no aha, take on me video with a coherent beginning, middle, and end.
Right, right.
It's just like,
This is, yeah, right. So they didn't necessarily follow this.
I don't
this
know
plan.
I don't know what went on in Mick's head.
It's
in
a
the
lot of
writing,
you know,
or the editing.
Just, but let me just. I just want to read this beginning part. So before you get into all the shots, the shot list and everything, this is, I guess, just sort of the concept statement. This first sentence. This is a music track for Fast Times. There you go. It's hot, humorous, and a little whacked out. Oh, boy. Oh, this is just great. This is really just great. So it's not a total surprise to me to imagine that they're kind of making stuff up as they go, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But there were, you know, there were other highlights. So one of the things, you know, one of the indignities I remember as a production assistant, another one of the setups is the guys dancing around, and the concept is that there'll be like a just sort of a snowfall of dollar bills. Because one of the lines is, you know, in the song,
of course there is.
You've got money, you've got shame, you know, whatever. So somebody has to get at top of a ladder behind the set and just sort of sprinkle these Xeroxes of $20 bills down on the band members. And Mick says, I need somebody responsible to be dropping these bills. And I am not responsible, evidently.
Oh, they didn't pick you.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, who's more responsible than George Manis?
Right. those who know me. So, but it's just like, whatever. So, I mean, it's funny because you do look at the video and it's just, there, it does not any more coherent than any other video with a guy, you know, and a bunch of, you know, stripper
right
stripper nurses. Talent stripper
yeah.
nurses
yes there you go Was it so insane, I guess, in the nurses? Was it supposed to be like a psychiatric hospital? Was that the idea?
Yeah, well, that was, there was like a, there's like a scene at the end where Ace is in a straitjacket.
There you
but
go.
But there, this thing, like the this treatment here, you know, talks about this different set and didn't really look like anything, just looked like a set somewhere. It wasn't like, oh, they're in a mental hospital or something like that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
It was like maybe a shot in the control room, whatever.
And this was a two-day shoot?
I think it was a two-day shoot, well, like one-day setup, two-day shoot. And this, you know, as I said, this was not only the first, but this was also the last Rock video that I worked on.
Yeah.
I learned some important lessons
from
this Rock video.
Okay.
The major one is this is like a very, very old and very old showbiz joke, which is there's some guy and he works at the circus and he dresses up in a clown suit. But his whole job is to run around in the clown suit behind the elephants and just with a shovel and sort of scoop up their poop.
Right.
He's doing this for 50 years. He's 70 years old. One day, one of the elephants like kicks him, falls over. He ends up in the hospital. Friend goes to the hospital and says, you know, maybe the world is telling you something. Maybe it's time for you to retire. And the guy sits up in his bed and he goes, what? Give up showbiz? And the reason I tell that joke is that one of the nights that I was after this scene of the grapes and bananas, everybody goes home except for me and the studio manager. And my job is to clean all the grapes and bananas up off the floor, all the mashed grapes and mashed bananas up off the floor. And shovel them into a trash can. And like, I think first I started sweeping, but then the manager got me a snow shovel. And as I am shoveling these things into the trash can, I'm thinking, wait a second, there's a joke that applies here. Maybe the world is telling me that I need to find a different line of work.
Right, right.
So that's a few months later, I gave up showbiz.
All right, all right. So aside from being the guy who had to shovel up all the mess of fruit on the floor, what else did you do during this music video shoot?
I held the clapper. Every now and then.
Okay,
I'd
that's
go
important.
In front and held the clapper. And I must have run errands.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that you do as a production assistant, there are light stands all over the place. So somebody's got to put sandbags on each of the light stands to make sure that the light stands don't fall over if somebody bumps into them. So I probably carried around sandbags. I probably ran out to get coffee and, you know, maybe shoveling the grapes and bananas was the highlight of the whole episode.
Yeah. Did you meet Ace at all?
No recollection of meeting Ace, chatting with Ace or anything like that. But the other thing that I remember was it wasn't only Sal who was following around Mick, but there was some guy there who, let me like look at my old notes. There was a guy who was not a member of KISS, who had a KISS logo tattooed on his left arm, and he had like the Rolling Stones tongue
logo
on his right arm, and he was just carrying around this like pile of Kiss photos and Kiss records, some of which were autographed. And he was, you know, essentially like he was a super fan or a stan or whatever. And I just wrote down here, I am told later that the man is a janitor with the world's largest collection of Kiss memorabilia. He has been offered $350,000 for it, I am told, but thinks that the value will go up if the band gets back together.
Nice. They did.
So, maybe the guy is, you know, he's on a beach somewhere in Hawaii.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good for him. All right. So, you know, so you never got to meet Ace during the course of the shoot. From what you could tell, though, what, like, can you characterize what he was like on that shoot? Was he sort of friendly to people and good, you know, natured about things? Or
I just don't remember him interacting with anybody. Like, not that he was standoffish or anything like that, but there was much more, but he just didn't call attention to himself or anything like that. He just sort of did what he was told.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I feel like I'm coming to you with the Ace Frehley story, and it's a Mick, it's more
Mick Rock.
Mick Rock was the one who was like,
it's great,
dominated the scene.
Cause we get insights into what goes into making a music video. and my guess is, you know, it's like anything you, involving shooting video, is that there's just a lot of waiting around. There's a lot of setup time and there's a lot of all that. And then the talent comes on and he's probably there for a few minutes and then they set up the next shot or whatever.
Yeah. Right? And then it's goes to some room somewhere and hangs out with the nurses. And
that's right.
We wait for him to come back.
Yeah. Are you now, or have you ever been a Kiss fan?
No.
Okay. That's the right answer. So my co-host Patrick will disagree, but for me, since he's not here, that's the right answer. Okay.
I have nothing against them personally. I never got into it. I'm sure if you played some of their songs, I would, you know, recognize them, but I just know guy with a tongue.
Yeah.
Lots of guys with makeup.
Yeah.
That's really all I know.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, George.
Thank you,
Jim. Wonderful.
I never thought in my life that I would have anything that I could contribute to this podcast. Your guys' knowledge and passion far surpasses mine. So it's an honor to be here.
No, this is great. This is an amazing story. So really appreciate it. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. With me has been
George Manis.
And we will talk to you later. Did you go back to the financial videos or whatever you were doing for a while?
Well, I was doing that for, let me think about this. No, because actually what had happened was, so this was May 1988. Mm-hmm. E.F. Hutton, you'll remember there was a crash of 87. Mm-hmm. And so a few months earlier, the stock market crashed. And E.F. Hutton basically went out of business got bought out by somebody else about a month later. So, and eventually, and pretty soon after that, maybe all of us were laid off from the EF Hutton video crew.
Once you've tasted the music, the rock music video world, it would kind of be hard to go back to the EF Hutton, you know.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was such a memorable experience. Yeah. You'd never get excitement like that.